Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad that you found us today. I've got a question for you. Are you feeling stuck? Like maybe you've hit a wall and just nothing's moving forward? Well, you're not alone, and you're not without hope. You know, the Bible is full of people who faced impossible situations, like Mary, Noah, Job, even the Apostle Paul. And they all experienced one thing that changed everything, a breakthrough from God. So today, Pastor Rick continues his series called Seeking God for a Breakthrough. Rick's going to walk us through biblical accounts of faith, prayer, and perseverance, reminding us that God still moves in powerful ways. Whether you're in a season of waiting or searching for hope, this series offers encouragement and biblical truth to help you keep going and get the breakthrough you need. And now let's get to Rick with part one of a message called Why I Must Keep on Praying Persistently.
Today I want us to look at why must I keep on praying persistently. And the reason why I want to deal with this is because of all of the mysteries about prayer. And there are a lot of them. There are a lot of things about prayer I do not understand. I don't always understand how it works with the sovereignty of God and the will of man, and when you're praying for other people and they have a free will. I don't understand it all. I know that just God said, do it. And he says it over and over and over 20 times in the New Testament. He says, ask. I want you to ask. You have not because you ask not. Now, since our Heavenly Father loves us, we know that. And since we know that he wants to answer prayer, he's commanded us to ask for prayer. He has given us multiple promises about prayer. And he says, I want to ask and I want to answer quickly. He's eager to meet our needs. The question then is, then why do I have to pray more than one time? Why do I have to make the same request over and over to God? If I want what I'm asking for in prayer, and if God is clearly loving, and as we saw in the last message, he's never going to give you something bad, he's never going to give you something detrimental, he's never going to give you something harmful or unhelpful, but he will always give you what's good and what's best. He'll never give you a bad gift. And if God wants to do that, why do I have to ask multiple times? Jesus said, we looked at this last week, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And that's a mystery to a lot of people. Why can't I just say one time and then God gives it? And he knows that. The Bible many times talks about being persistent in prayer. One example is there on your outline, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Be persistent in prayer. In other words, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Don't just pray one time about something. Keep on praying. Be persistent in prayer and keep alert as you pray. In other words, don't fall asleep when you pray. That's a good principle to remember there. I was resting in the Lord, you know. Keep alert as you pray, always giving thanks to God. Now, we've looked four times at prayer, and every time it adds give thanks when you're asking. That we ask out of a grateful heart. Gratitude for the past, we're asking about the future, but he says always be grateful for what God has already given you. So why do I have to ask over and over and over and over and over? Does God have to be cajoled? Does he have to be pestered? Does God have to be bothered? Do I have to wear God down? Do I have to beg and beg and beg and bribe and plead and cry and bother until finally just God goes, okay, enough already, shut up. I'm going to give it to you. Is that what kind of God we serve? The answer is absolutely not. That is not at all the reason God says, I want you to ask multiple times. It's not for his benefit, and it's for our benefit. In fact, we're going to look at two stories today that Jesus told that teach the exact opposite of that idea, that I have to wear God down, that I have to keep pestering and bargaining and bribing, and then finally God just goes, okay, I give in. You can have this. In fact, Jesus told two parables that teach the exact opposite thing. Now, by the way, what is a parable? You've heard this word, parable. A parable is simply a story with a point. A parable is not just a story. It's a story with a lesson. It's a story with an insight. It's a story with a truth that God wants you to get. And the Bible tells us that Jesus never taught without using parables. He was the master storyteller. And these stories still relate to us 2,000 years later because he was such a master storyteller. And he just would deal with slices of life. Now, there are two kinds of parables you need to understand. There are comparing parables and there are contrasting parables. Let me explain this. In a comparing parable, Jesus tells a story and he's saying, this compares to God. God is like this, like the loving father in the story of the prodigal son. God is like that. And when Jesus tells a story where he's saying, this is what God is like, that's a comparing parable. But sometimes he says, God is not like this. That's a contrasting parable. It's a contrasting parable. No way people of the world are like this, but God's not like this. The two stories we're going to look at today, they're very brief, actually are contrasting. And God is saying, I am not at all like the people in this story. And he's getting rid of the idea that you have to beg and bargain and bribe God to have an answer to prayer. So let's look at these two stories, and then we'll kind of unpack them. The first one is in Luke chapter 11, and it's the story of a persistent friend. Look up here on the screen, and here's what this story is all about. Once, when Jesus had been out praying, his disciples asked, Lord, teach us to pray. We talked about this last week. And by the way, when he said teach us to pray, he taught them what is now known as the Lord's Prayer. And he taught them the model prayer. He says, okay, here's how you start it. Our Father. Remember, we talked about that last week. It all starts with the right relationship. God is not some force in the sky. He's not a force. He's your Father. And he's not like any human father who is inconsistent and uncaring and distant and distracted and sometimes demeaning. This God, this Father is caring. He's consistent. He is competent, he's capable, and he is always with you. He's close. And so he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But after Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer, he then told them this story. Here's what he says. But then he said, suppose you went to your neighbor's house at midnight and knocked on his door, and said, an out-of-town guest has just arrived at my place. He's hungry, and I've got nothing to feed him, so I need to borrow 3 loaves of bread. Would you do that with your neighbor? Wake him up at midnight? This is the persistent neighbor. Now, your neighbor would probably whisper from the inside of his house, don't bother me. The door's already locked for the night. He's saying this from the bedroom, maybe out the window. The door's already locked for the night. We're all in bed. I can't wake up everybody just to help you. Now, he says, but even though he would not help you out of friendship at that particular moment, if you keep persistently knocking on his door, he's going to get up and he's going to give you what you need because of your persistence. All right, already. He says, you just keep on knocking. So Jesus says, I tell you this. This is a parable by contrast. Keep on asking and you'll get it. Keep on seeking and you'll find. And keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and everyone who seeks will find. And if you keep on knocking, the door will be opened to you. Now, just in case we didn't get that message, he says, I'm not like that guy who's not going to give it to you out of friendship. He's just giving it to you to get you out of his hair. He says, the principle there is you should keep on knocking. You keep on asking, keep on seeking. And Jesus wants you so badly to understand why you should pray about something more than once that he doesn't just give you one story, he gives us two. And let's look at the second parable. And in this, he wants to emphasize that you should never, never, never give up praying for something that you're asking for until you've got it. All right? Now, here's the second story, and it's in chapter 18 of Luke, and it's the first 8 verses. This is called the story of the persistent widow. Similar theme. It's one day, this is a different day, Jesus told his disciples another story to illustrate that they should always keep on praying and never give up. Now, before we take that verse down, I want you to notice something. He says you should always keep on praying and never give up. In your life, you are always doing one or the other. If you're not praying, you're giving up. And if you're giving up, if you're discouraged this weekend, it's because you're not praying. Jesus said we should always pray and not give up. What is the opposite of discouragement? Persistent prayer. What is the opposite of not praying persistently? Discouragement. So you can go through life either discouraged or diligent. You can be pressured into feeling bad about it, or you can be persistent in praying. And he says, you're going to, throughout life, you're always doing one or the other. Anytime you get discouraged, you should ask yourself, have I stopped praying persistently? That's why you're discouraged, because you've gotten your eyes off of God and onto yourself. On the other hand, if you're praying persistently, it eliminates discouragement in your life. You're going to pray or you're going to give up. Now, then he says this. Here's the story. There once was a big city judge, Jesus says, who didn't care at all about God or people. But there was an elderly woman, an elderly widow, who kept coming to this judge over and over, pleading for the judge to protect her rights and do something about a man who had cheated her. I want justice. I have my rights. She keeps coming back to the judge over and over. Judge, you got to help me. And the guy, he doesn't care less about her, he says, or even God. Now, it says for a long time, this judge just ignored her pleas. He couldn't care less about this widow. He has no interest in her, no interest in helping her get justice or, you know, protect her rights. The judge just ignored her pleas for help, but eventually he had had enough. So he thought to himself, you know, even though I don't care at all about what God or what this woman think, I'm tired of her pestering. I'm tired of her pestering request. So I'm going to see that she gets justice just to get her to be quiet and stop bothering me. Note the same theme as the other story. Then the Lord said, now, learn a lesson from this uncaring judge. He says, okay, guys, get the point here. Even if that corrupt, uncaring, this guy has no compassion at all. He doesn't care about you or anybody else. Even if that corrupt, uncaring judge eventually gave in to that woman's request, won't God, who loves you deeply, saying, this guy's not like me, won't God, who loves you deeply, surely give you what is right if you keep crying out to him day and night? Jesus tells two stories to teach the exact same truth. Anytime Jesus tells two stories to teach one truth, it's that important. Why you should never give up in praying for something. Not to just go, well, I prayed and it didn't happen, so I just gave up on it. Now, here's the contrast. He says, God listens to you, God cares, and God wants to answer even if people don't. Even if your neighbor doesn't, they think you're being rude, you're in the middle of the night, or even if some unjust, uncaring, unsympathetic judge says, forget it, I have no time for you. He said, God is not like either of them. He listens, he cares, and the point is this, that God is eager to answer your prayers. So, why then doesn't God just answer it the first time I ask? Why does he want me, and it says over and over in Scripture, to keep on praying, keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on knocking? Why does God want me to be persistent? So why does God want me and want you to keep praying the same request over and over and over till he gives it? Why does he want us to be persistent? Well, the Bible gives us a number of reasons, and none of them have to do with convincing God. He already knows your need before you even asked. That's not why you do it. There are a number of other reasons. You might write these down. They're all right here in the Scriptures. Number one, because it keeps my attention focused on God. When you pray about something over and over and over, where's your attention? It's focused on God. Now, I've told you this many times, that attention is the greatest gift you can give somebody. Guys, The greatest gift, if you're married, the greatest gift you can give your wife is your attention. The greatest gift you can give your kids is your attention. Why? Because your attention is your time, and your time is your life. You're never going to get that back. You can always give people money, but you can always get more money. But you can't always get more time back. You've got the same amount of time as everybody else, 168 hours a week. And when you give your attention to somebody, when you look someone in the eye, you're saying, you matter to me, you're valuable, you're worth part of my life. It's the highest gift you can give. People crave attention. God wants your attention. You know, the Bible says God is constantly thinking about you. How about if you thought about somebody all the time and they never thought about you? Well, that probably was true when you were in junior high school. Because there's somebody you thought about all the time and they were totally oblivious to you. And you know how painful that was, that they did not even notice you when all you could do was think about them, because you were in love in your mind with that person. God says, I want your attention. And so when you pray about something over and over and over, you give God your attention. God loves to have your attention because he's always thinking about you. One of the reasons God loved King David in the Old Testament of the Bible is because David gave God his attention all the time. Look at these two verses. Psalm 25:15, David says, my eyes are continually looking to the Lord. That's another word for being persistent. I'm continually looking to the Lord for help, and he alone can rescue me from all the traps. It's supposed to be plural, all the traps. You know what? You're going to have a lot of traps in your life this next week. He's the only one who knows them in advance. Have you ever gone up a mountain road and you're behind a truck and they're slow and you'd like to pass them, but you can't see around the curve? And how great it would be if you could call in a helicopter and they could say, yeah, it's clear around the corner, because they could see what you can't see. God can see what you can't see. He can see the traps you're going to have this next week, this next month, and this next year. He says, focus on me continually, and I'll show you how to be rescued from all of the traps. Psalm 105, verse 4, look to the Lord for his strength. Seek his face, how often? Yeah, constantly. Circle that. So it keeps my attention focused on God. God wants you to keep asking because it keeps your attention focused on him. Question, do you talk to God more when you need something? Of course you do. If you never needed anything, would you talk to God as often? No. When do you talk to God the most? When you're in deep pain. So it keeps me focused on God continually. There's a second reason, and it's because having to wait teaches me about myself. Having to wait teaches me about myself. You're going to learn some things while you're praying for an answer that you won't learn any other way. This is going to be a mind-opening message for some of you, because you learn not just about God, you learn about yourself when you don't get everything you want instantly. When you pray and God says, well, let's just see about how long it's going to take before that prayer gets answered. Some prayers are answered immediately, but some take times, weeks, months. Two of the most important prayers I've ever prayed, one of them took 13 years, and one of them took almost 25 years. But God answered it. And they were the most important prayers in my life at that time. Why did it take so long? Because while I was working on the prayer, God was working on me. And there are a number of tests that happen when you pray about something over and over and over that reveal more about you. Notice this verse. Zechariah says in Zechariah 13, verse 9, God says, I will test and purify them, that's you and me. I'll test and purify them as silver is purified by fire. Ever wonder when you're going through the fire, why you're going through it? It's for testing and for purification. I will test them as gold is tested. How do you test gold? You put it in a big vat and you heat it up until it gets so hot that all the impurities are burned off. And how do you know when gold and silver is pure? Because the silversmith can see his reflection in it. And God can see his reflection in you. When all the impurities have burned out of your life, you've been through the fire. He says, then, after I've tested them, after I have purified them, then they will pray to me and I will answer. Notice that the prayer answer comes after the test. Does that sound vaguely familiar? We spent 10 weeks on Daniel, looking at 10 tests of Daniel, and I said, before every blessing, there is a testing. And God tests you with stress before he trusts you with success. That principle of Daniel's life is one of the principles of persistent prayer. God is going to test you before he blesses you. And he says, I'm going to test you. And in this test, you're going to learn a lot about yourself. If you give up praying, you're never going to learn these lessons. You say, well, what do I learn? What do I specifically learn about myself when I have to pray specifically and persistently? Well, let me just mention four areas. There are four areas that God wants me to grow, wants you to grow. Write these down. The first would be this. Praying persistently tests my desires. Praying persistently tests my desires. And what that means is I ask the question, what do I really want?
Hey, thanks for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. And now here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, we get letters and emails from people all around the world and from all ages. And here's one that I got from a listener in Indonesia. His name is Stephen, and he's 12 years old. He wrote, Dear Pastor Rick, thank you for the powerful way that you've impacted my life. I'm just a 12-year-old schoolboy in Jakarta, Indonesia, but I listen to the broadcast every morning on the way to school. My life has changed completely this year. I'm at a new school, and my family's just about recovered from some financial problems, but I'm still having to learn a whole new way of life. Some days I really feel bad, and I ask God to help me. But then the Daily Hope broadcast comes on the radio, and you always say something that helps me feel better, and I know that at that moment, God is trying to speak directly to me through you. So thank you ever so much. Well, thank you ever so much, Stephen. I love hearing from people like you, literally all around the world, who've been impacted through Daily Hope. You know, by the way, I want to thank all of those of you who support us regularly with your financial gifts every month. We can't do this without you. But because of you, we're able to minister to people like this 12-year-old boy, Stephen, in Jakarta, Indonesia. You're never going to know this side of heaven the number of lives that you have impacted because of your gifts to Daily Hope. Thank you, thank you, thank you. When we get to heaven, we're all going to rejoice and see the results there.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.